I'm weary and my soul will start to show some rust. All the things I placed my hopes in crumble into dust. I will keep on fighting and do what I simply must. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. Of God, that is what you made me for of myself, I'm surely not. You're my hope, the only one who's good and pure and just. In you I put my trust, in you I put my trust. All the suffering and the pain of all the countless innocents when you come again. When it seems the enemy's won and my cause is lost, in you I put my trust, in you I put my trust. Upon which all my cares and woes I'll thrust. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. You've been my salvation from the enemy within. Your grace proved to be greater than my weaknesses and sin. For as long as I live, I will love you at any cost. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. You're a shelter, rock, and safety that no enemy can bust. In you I put my trust. 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 In you I put my trust.
In you I put my trust. Amen. In you I put my trust. That's the name of that song, and that's where my trust is. How about you today? Amen. Putting it in Jesus all the way to eternity, and that's where we're headed. Thank you, Jesus. And it seems like sometimes we're headed there a little quicker as the things are escalating in the world as we look around us all the time and see what's going on. But I know it's all in the hands of the Lord. He's going to take care of his people if you will trust him, if we will trust him with all of our hearts. All right, here we are, the 10th day of November, and they changed the time again. So I'm really doing the show an hour later, right? So an hour earlier, but it really, I guess you gain an hour, right? In the fall back and spring forward, that's the same. All right, let's go ahead and open up with a little bit of news here tonight. You know, we talked about a pastor last week. Yeah, F.L. Bubba Copeland shared with you about him on the news of First Baptist Church of Phenix City, Alabama. That's right. He's also was the mayor of Smith Station, Alabama, who online, he had a secret identity. He was transgender. His transgender persona was exposed. And I talked about that last week. And the reason I'm mentioning him at all this week is because he killed himself this week. That's right. He lived a double life as a transgender woman by the name of Brittany Blair Summerlin online and posted transgender pornography and pornographic sex stories. And, well, yeah, he killed himself. And that's tragedy because he should have repented. He thought it was okay what he was doing, and it's not okay. Especially when you've got a high and holy calling of being a pastor, right? I think that, you know, the pastor is more accountable than the average Christian, right? According to, let not many be teachers, for they shall have the greater, you know, accountability, basically, what it's saying in the Word. And so, yeah, and here he was living a double life and trying to pastor this church and most likely wasn't even born again. But anyway, feel sorry for him, feel sorry for his family, and I pray that he repented, but unlikely because he killed himself. Right? And anyway, Carlton Pearson, who is a pastor who got way off into some false doctrine, he's now battling with terminal cancer, and so he's not going to be around long. And he's telling everybody he's going to see them all in heaven. Well, no. That's unlikely because he really basically renounced Christian doctrine and he was a pretty famous preacher back in his earlier days before he went into heresy. And now he's really been off in heresy for a long time and he thinks that everybody's going to be saved and that there's no hell whatsoever. That's what he's been teaching people and deceiving people to believe. And, you know, that's universalism, and he's very deceived and still, as far as we know, holding to that false doctrine on his deathbed. Well, I pray that his eyes be open and he repent, and even on his deathbed, it's not too late. So pray Carlton Pearson, he repents for his false doctrine and leading thousands of people astray, actually. Well, California spent over $4 million on fake vagina surgeries and breast implants. That's right. For trans inmates, they spent $4 million for 157 inmates who claimed to be trans and wanted themselves to have these surgeries. What perversion goes on in this world? 400 earthquakes recorded under Mount St. Helens since mid-July. Scientists say that the quakes mean that the volcano is recharging itself. Okay, well, we'll see what that means, if that means something. A Christian high school student in Chicago, Illinois, recently won a lawsuit against the Chicago school district, school system, which forced her to participate in Hindu practices amounting to idolatry and violation of her Christian faith. And so she won the case and was awarded $150,000. Should have been $1 million, causing a Christian to stumble like that. I think that's quite a serious offense to cause one of these little ones to stumble, the Bible says, talks about that. It would better that you had a brick tied around you and thrown to the bottom of the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Also, another crazy California bill would guarantee the right for homosexual men to have women's bodies to bear children. And that's to be surrogates, basically, surrogate mothers. and that bill, 729. And we'll see if that is passed or not. The Senate passed it, but I don't know that it's going to get through all the way, but, you know, wouldn't doubt it. Russia warns its people to not travel to the U.S. and to leave the USA. Why are they warning people to do that, huh? You think they know something? Somebody got a word, which I'm not necessarily in agreement with it necessarily, but just interesting. Tell my people, a deluge of fire is coming. This is my command. When I allow the evil plans of the enemy to launch the nukes, it is judgment unleashed. So you think that word is true? Well, I've looked at some of their other words, and, I don't know. I mean, I've heard so many inaccurate words about these things, and so I wonder, about that one too. But anyway, they had a massive move of God in Nicaragua. 650,000 attends, and thousands were saved, and miracles were abounding. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. And there we have a person who is a former pro-life rescuer. The boy's jail time has turned and signed an agreement with the Biden administration and the federal government that she will fully cooperate when it comes to, when it calls upon her, when the government calls upon her for information on pro-life operations. Okay. Well, obviously she would do, how many people when they're faced with prison sentences or the head be cut off or whatever are going to turn their back on the Lord and be turncoat or whatever? How many people you think would do that in these latter days? Well, 7 Nashville, Tennessee detectives were suspended because they stood up for the truth after transgender manifesto of the murderer leaked out defending, but exposing the manifesto of what he wrote. I read some of that pretty disgusting stuff, but these detectives wanted to get the truth out about this transgender, and the other parts of the government wanted to hide this particular transgender murdering Christian children and Christian people in that Christian school in Nashville. So is the government defending a murder? What? Well, anyway, that's all the news I'm going to share with you here tonight. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you again. Here we are again on another Friday Night Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this live service here that we're having here tonight. And we're going to open up in prayers to get ready for the Word of God here tonight, and believe I have a good word to share with you, and hope you'll be blessed by it and encouraged by it, and the Lord will speak to you. I want to pray tonight as we open up in prayer for backslidden Christians who are struggling. Yeah, Lord, there's a number of them that I'm aware of, and I get emails from people that get in that condition, they backslide and then go to get right with the Lord. And it seems like things are different for a while. You could be restored. God's merciful. He loves you. But I want to pray for backsliders tonight as we pray as well. People who fall away from Jesus and walk back into the world. It's easy to do, and the devil is certainly after people to do that. And he hates the righteous, and he doesn't want you to remain with Jesus. So he does whatever he can to get you to turn aside and go back to the world and love the world and the things of the world and go back to the old life, the old ways, go back to Egypt, so to speak, which speaks of sin. So let's pray for that tonight as we pray, and anything else that I have on my mind here that the Lord brings up to pray for. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for another opportunity to gather together here. Ask your blessing on it, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your glory. Father, we pray for those who have backslidden, and those who are trying to return to the Lord, or in the process of returning to the Lord, or have returned to the Lord, and that really need some help, Lord. We ask you to minister to them and encourage them and speak to them and guide them and draw them near to you, Father, and draw them away from the world, Father. Help them to grow to hate the world, Father, and to love you more than they love this old wicked world and all that the devil has to offer, because the devil would just rob them anyway. And that's what he's about, steal, kill, and destroy. So they're really not going to have a good life if they go back to the world, but people learn that it's not any better back there over and over and over again. people go that route. But Lord, I pray for them. Lord, I pray to be restored, everyone that's in that condition now. Lord, the backslider, Lord, those who have returned to the world in the darkness of this world, Lord, we call them back to you in Jesus' name, Father. Pray for them. We bind the devil that has deceived them, and we just loose the mighty warring angels and the ministering spirits to minister to them, and the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of these people that they can return to righteous walking and walking with Jesus all the rest of the days of their life, Father, in Jesus' name. Pray you wash them in the blood of Jesus, Father. Thank you for that, Father. We pray for, Lord, the returning of the backslider, Father, in Jesus' name, and pray they'll have a closer walk with you than they had before, Father, in Jesus' name. You will deal with them about this sin and let them know they are forgiven, Father, if they repent and turn from it, that they be forgiven, Father, and thank you that they'll have right standing with you. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you for that, Father, and we give you the glory for all your good things that you've done in our lives, Father, and keeping us with you all these years that we can walk, Lord, with you. And the greatest thing is that we don't backslide ever, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you keep us with you, Lord, all the days of our lives, Father, even through the dark days that look like to be on the horizon for the world. But Lord, you said we're going to shine brighter and brighter till that full day. Praise God for that, Lord. We look forward to seeing you face to face, Father. And we know that day will come because we know in whom we have believed, Lord. And we trust you. We believe in you. We know you're going to take care of us all the way to the end, Father, and bring us into that eternal life, Father, that you have. You said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We look forward to that day, Lord, when we are present with you and never to ever have to live in this old wicked world and under darkness again, in a world of darkness, that is, again. All right, Lord, we thank you for the broadcast tonight. We just cover every listener with the blood of Jesus, ask you to minister to them, deliver them, strengthen them spiritually, Father, and Lord, take them where you want them to go with you, Father, that they will fulfill your plan for their lives, Father, fully and not be robbed from by the enemy. And we thank you that they walk in the perfect and best will of God, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we just covered the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit through me, Father. Thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody say thank you, Jesus. All right, amen. Let's get into the word tonight, which is Satan's Thievery is the title. That's what we called it anyway. So have you ever been stolen from by the enemy? Has he ever pulled a thief job on you? Maybe more than one, huh? Maybe a whole lot of them. I mean, no, the devil is a thief and a robber. And when he can get away with it, he will rob you. He will steal from you. Can you even count the times you've been stolen from by the devil and his demons? Have you ever thought about it very much and realized, you know, how much maybe that you've lost by the working of the thief and his cohorts, his demons and fallen angels? Now, I tell you right now, I've seen so many people being robbed from, and they just, a lot of them just don't realize the level of theft that has been going on in their lives. They don't realize that what that devil has been doing because they don't always see that it's the devil doing it. But, you know, if you've been in this kind of warfare any amount of time, you can recognize that the thief is in operation when you see what's going on in people's lives. They might think it's just circumstances, but, you know, things don't just happen for any reason, you know, for no reason, like a lot of people think. They just, well, just whatever happens, happens. It just happens. Well, that's not true. There's something behind what happens. And we remember the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, see? And Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So, you know, I remember one time how the devil stole from us back in our earlier years of ministry. You know, I'd listen to this man on the radio. Many Christians listen to this man on the radio, and And I think that perhaps it was my, I would manage to save up our life savings. I think some of us from my wife's mother dying and leaving some money to her, and then we managed to get together $15,000, and we put it into Pat Kiley's investment program, and we lost all of it. In fact, we found out he was a con and was stealing all these people's money. And really, the devil was behind it. Satan was in on that, even though this man and his organization claimed to be Christian, and they had a successful radio program on for years about things and finances and how they could help people invest, and they would get a big return on their investments. And anyway, I talked to a number of people who were deceived by this guy also, and lost money and with this wicked man and his cohorts. And, you know, I didn't lose that much compared to some of those who had invested. They invested millions in this guy's, in his investment thing. And so really, $50,000, nothing. But, you know, it was a lot to add because we never had millions anyway. And so this thief, you know, stole from a lot of Christians. Most of them, all of them were Christians. And, you know, yeah. The devil stole basically what happened. And so what is the devil stolen from you? It may not be your money. It might be your relationships. It might be in dealing with other people he's stolen and robbed you. And it could be your health. I mean, some people, they don't recognize, you know, that the devil is the author of sickness and disease and infirmities. And, you know, he's the one that brings this stuff against people's lives, and through curses and through their various ways of inflicting people with ill health. Or maybe your mind may have been, overcome. You know, some people have panic attacks all the time. Well, that's certainly the enemy doing that. And some people are, you know, have demons attached to them and ruling to one degree or another. And it may have been that you, you know, are or have been stolen from, you know, maybe in a marriage. Your marriage failed, a relationship failed, and or it was the wrong one in the first place, set up by the thief through lust or deception, or somebody else, you know, set you up, but God didn't. And so, you know, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But, I mean, no, God didn't join everybody together. That doesn't mean you should go get a divorce or anything. It just means that a lot of people who are married, God didn't join them together. And they're just suffering as a result of it. But, you know, there are many ways for a thief to steal from a person. How many know that? And you could probably think of a lot of ways that he's stolen from you if you begin to really think it over. But, you know, the enemy is very smart in ways to be a thief. I mean, he thinks of ways that maybe you've never even thought of, you know, and we've never thought of. And some people, their whole lives, have just been a project of thievery by the enemy. They get up in the morning and they were set up before they were born, and they were being robbed from all day in various ways. That's right. I mean, I know some people that lived in perpetual thievery. In other words, the enemy is continually stealing from them and robbing them. And a lot of it because of generational curses. And their whole family line, the generations are under a curse. They have familiar spirits in the family. And it's just messing up their lives. And some feel so hopeless because, you know, they can see some of it. And it seems like there's nothing they could do to change anything. And they don't know what to do because it just keeps happening. And they feel like they're just living under something, and they don't understand it because they don't understand what maybe is really going on there, how the generational spirits, and they have to be broken off of them and cast out and the curse broken in Jesus' name. And there are other Christians, well, they're just blind to it. They don't know life any other way because that's all they've ever known, okay? That's all they've ever known. But stop, ask yourself, you know, where have I been stolen from? You know, there was an old TV show, It Takes a Thief. Robert Wagner, you know, he's a professional thief who then worked for, you know, the so-called good guys and this broadcast of this TV, you know, show. And it was always stealing in some ingenious way. Well, the government, you know, the so-called good guys, you know, he now works for, the thief, you know, for their benefit. But, you know, the so-called good guys today now work for the thief in real life. And they're always coming up with ingenious ways to steal from the populace and through vaccines and, you know, additives and poisons and, you know, all manner of things through the money. And you can just keep counting, you know. Our morals by allowing ungodly practices such as, transgenderism, LGBTQ, abortions, and, you know, drugs and porno, and, you know, it's just tragic. And the abortion industry, I hear in Ohio, they just passed abortion to be part of the state laws or constitution or whatever over this, in this last election here this week. And wow. And 25% of those who voted for it were Christian, supposedly, or went by the name Christian. That's pretty strange, huh? Well, sad to see that go on, isn't it? But the thief controls too many people. So what can be done, folks? What can we do? We need to get our lives back. You know, some for the first time, some people, you know, we need to get our mind back. We need to get our health back. We need to get our home back. We need to get our hope back. We need to get our money back. And again, some have never had any, you know, they haven't had any help. They haven't had any money because they've been stolen from the beginning. Let's stop this thieving that Satan is doing to the people of God, at least. Stop it in your life and tell somebody else how to stop it in their life. And we're going to find out how to stop this thieving tonight. And we got to start with hating sin, hating evil. Sin is evil. The devil is evil, and he hates us. You know, we as Christians are going to have to learn to hate sin. And a lot of Christians just don't hate sin. They get in bed with sin, see? They don't hate it. They get in bed with it. And yet when we see it in ourselves, you know, We need to not let it destroy us or bring us into self-condemnation, paralyze our effectiveness as Christians and feeling bad all the time. And because, look, I've done this and I've done that. And a lot of Christians suffer that way because they feel so bad about themselves. They can't seem to look at themselves in the right manner. And this, again, is probably a curse and probably the work of the enemy, you know, going on because God doesn't see you that way. But God wants us to pray effectively and be the mighty warrior that God has called us to be. See, the enemy knows the fact that if we ever get a hold of our true calling as kings and priests of God, his purposes are going to be hindered or they're going to be blocked, they're going to be stopped. You know, he's not going to get away with it, okay? His lying and his stealing, it can be stopped. How many know that? Yeah. So perhaps you pray for a while, but then perhaps you stumble, sin, and fall or fail in some personal way. Well, Satan sends his doubts, his discouragement, his condemnation, his guilt, his failure mentality, and his failure thinking, and make you think God is mad at me type of thinking and try to beat you down with that. I want to say this, it's a serious mistake to think that we have no right to pray because we have messed up so bad and we've sinned or whatever, okay? But you know what, it's not hard for the devil to convince you of that, is it? Not hard at all to convince you that, well, look at you, terrible scoundrel, you, look what you've done, how you, a Christian, could do such a thing, you're just so horrible, you're just so messed up. You know, he has no problem convincing most Christians, you know, when they mess up, and he causes them to mess up in the first place, tempts them and leads them in that direction, and the enemy just laughs at us because he succeeded in stealing from us, you know, again, and stealing the opportunity for us to walk in our God-given anointing, God-given power, and to, you know, release Satan's captives, release ourselves, stop his his devices and enforce, you know, his doom on him, which is what we're supposed to be, you know, speaking the truth, you know, to that enemy that lies to us, that, hey, you know, God's going to put you away forever in eternal torment, devil. You know, Ephesians 2:18, the eyes of your understanding, oh, no, I'm sorry, that was 1:18, we're going 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's who we are now. Amen? And through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And we're not strangers and foreigners and foreigners. We are saints, fellow citizens with the saints, of the household of God. Remember that. See, when the devil tells you these lies, amen, remember who you are. Remember what you are. Okay? And notice it's not through, you know, your goodness. It's not through your abilities. It's through him. Through him. Through the Lord. Right? For through him. Not through our good work, but through his work on the cross, what he did. Okay? Amen. Not through your goodness, not through you at all, but through him. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, devil, it's through him. And I've got the righteousness of Christ. So you better back off in Jesus' name. So settle it within you. No matter what you feel like, there's only one basis upon which you gain and maintain access to God. The finished work of Jesus. Notice I said the finished work. Amen. Amen. It is finished. You know, that's what he said on the cross. It is finished. Yeah. Hallelujah. So at any moment, under any circumstances, you have immediate access, personal access to the throne. Praise God. See, the enemy wants to, you know, he wants to destroy or deceive us in the area of our weapons. He wants to keep us from using our weapons because our weapons are mighty against him. And he doesn't want you to walk in that kind of mightiness. He doesn't want you to be aware of that and what you really have in God. You're a mighty man or a mighty woman in God if you'll just walk in what God has said that you have and that you are. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13. Let's read 19 through 22 here. 19 through 22. And it says here, hallelujah. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But to all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his shear and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. And yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. So that it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son, there was found. In other words, Saul and Jonathan had some weapons, good weapons, and the garrison of the Philistine went out to the passage of Mismatch. So anyway, this is a good way to deal is to keep you not fighting back. And this is what the Philistines had done here, okay? During the reign of King Saul, the Philistines destroyed all the blacksmiths in Israel. Why? Because without weapons, they were pretty a powerless army. The blacksmiths or the smiths were responsible to supply the army with swords and spears and shields, so they had no weapons hardly at all to fight with. And see how subtle the enemy works? I mean, try to steal your weapon away from you or make you think you're not worthy to use it. See, our prayer, our intercession, our deliverance, our spiritual warfare is the blacksmith's shop of the church, so to speak. So the enemy tries to take away prayer, warfare, and intercession and deliverance so that the sword of the Spirit can't be used against them. And because of this, many Christians are defenseless at the time of the greatest need and at the time of the greatest battle. They just don't know how to fight. They just haven't been to the smith lately. They haven't been to the Christian blacksmith and got their sword ready and sharpened. And so we need to pray and intercede not to let the enemy take that away from us in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we are made worthy through Christ. Quit trying to make yourself worthy and thinking you're not worthy because you're listening to the wrong voice, the voices of the enemy all the time, instead of the voice of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In fact, God wouldn't have told us this in this verse if we could only pray when we'd been good. Okay, but let's look at some verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us here, pray without ceasing. And then Ephesians 6:18, what does it tell us there about praying? Ephesians 6:18 tells us here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, for all saints. So are you always like an angel? No. We're still allowed and told to pray always. See, what a deceiver Satan is. You know, God says you can, and Satan says you're unworthy and you can't pray because look how messed up your life is. See, that's what the devil tells you. You know, so what is intercessory prayer? Intercession is a way of love. Really, when you pray for others, you love others, okay? You love others when you pray for others. See, if you really love someone, you're going to desire them to have far more than you can ever give them in your own power. See? And the intercession is moving from our needs and concerns to the needs of the concerns of someone else. It's literally laying down your life for somebody else. And if we truly pray and intercede for someone else, then it'll make a difference, folks. Really will. Even could be a heaven and hell difference. You know, I mean, that's how important our prayers are. You think your prayer doesn't amount to anything, then the devil's lying to you, and you believe in his lie. John 15:12, it says here, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see that happening much in today's church? But how can I love another as Jesus loved me? Lay down your life by truly praying for him. You know, Jesus still lives the example. Go to Hebrews 6. He still lives the example. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. No, Hebrews 7, I'm sorry. Hebrews 7:25. Says here, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wow. See, he ever liveth. He's always interceding for us. Can you say hallelujah about that? I sure can. Thank you, Jesus, ever maketh intercession for us. You know, even in deliverance, folks, you know, we are interceding for you as we cast out demons. You know, the casting out of demons should be considered an act of love, folks, and caring. I mean, you care enough about the tormented person to take the time to lay down a person's life to say, come out in Jesus' name, until they come out and a person gets free from their besetting demon. You know, and that takes time sometimes. I mean, listen, all the hours that I've done deliverance was giving my life and laying my life down for another person, you know, because I've spent hours and hours. I can't count all the hours I've spent ministering deliverance. My wife and I have spent ministering deliverance to people over the years. We've spent hours upon hours upon hours. And that's laying down your life for another. See, you ever thought about deliverance that way? I mean, it's a sacrifice of love. It's a labor of love. And because we love God's people, you know, so we serve God's people. How about you? Have you been laying down your life to help anyone but you? Or me, us four and no more, or us two and no more? Really, I mean, people are such a selfish people today. We put ourselves first above everybody and everyone else, and really don't care about other people. Just about me, 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 me world, you know, me, myself, and I, no more. You know, I tell you, Lord, help this loveless generation. It's amazing You know, if people go farther and farther into darkness, the more self-centered, self-focused they are, right? I mean, that's really the case. Because when you don't walk with Jesus, you get more and more self-centered. I think, even though a lot of Christians are pretty self-focused and it's all about them, it is, in a lot of them. And that's too bad. But remember, a new commandment he gave us. He said, I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's John 13:34-35. Notice it doesn't say your love for the world, but your love one for another. They'll know you're his disciples by the love you have for one another. You know, as a Christian, you should love your brothers and sisters, and should be a visible love by the love we have one for another. The world's going to know that we're Christian. See? Yeah, we're to especially love those, you know, of like Christian faith. And the world should see it, and they know we're believers in Jesus, right? They see in the love that we have one for another. And that will cause people to come to Christ, too. 15, remember, we read John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. We read that once. I'll read it again. But, you know, deliverance and intercession for others is a labor of love. So a labor of love. You're praying for someone. You're taking the time out to intercede and pray for somebody. That is a labor of love. They may not know you're doing it, but the Lord knows you're doing it. And that's what really matters, is that the Lord knows you're doing it. And you could tell them you've been praying for them. They may not know the level you pray, but still, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Hey, that's a labor of love. So I'm here to expose darkness and its works in people's lives tonight, so that people could get free, see, because we don't want the enemy to remain hidden and working away in private, getting away with his little garbage. So we need to at least begin your journey of liberty and getting the glorious liberty that God has for you. If you haven't had any deliverance yet, then start getting it. But I want to say this. Everyone needs to get delivered. No one is without a demon problem. I haven't met anybody. Everyone has some problem caused by devils, and they need to be freed from the demon and the demonic strongholds that are in their lives, within the soul and their body. And so often these strongholds go very deep in people. They're just not just surface level, just not surface level. You know, you just see, you know, an iceberg, you see part of it on the surface, but the majority of it is under the water, and nobody sees that unless you're in a submarine. Well, you know, you get your Holy Spirit submarine and start going in deep and finding out these deep strongholds that are in your life that are really the root of a lot of your problems. Okay, they're not just surface level. See, on the surface level, our government claims to be good and Christian, but as you look deeper and discover the realities, it's not the case at all. Okay, and on the surface, a person might look good and, you know, that they have it together, supposedly. They try to present that kind of picture, but just below the surface, that will be seen to not be the case. That will be seen to be a lie and not the truth. So warfare, spiritual warfare, deliverance, and intercession is taking the ground back that the thief has stolen from you and from others. And, oh, brothers and sisters, how much ground has been stolen from all of us. And if we could just get back half of, you know, our lives would be transformed. I mean, half of what we've had stolen from us. But, you know, it's time. Take back what the thief has stolen from you. It's time for payback. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm angry at evil. I'm angry at the devil with a righteous, holy anger. I hate evil because in the Bible we're commanded to hate evil. The Bible tells us to hate the wickedness of the devil, to hate the evil that he does. And so I do. I hate evil. I don't like evil at all. I don't like what I see it doing to people's lives and how the devastation that I see is taking place in so many, and the destruction that evil has done in their lives, and the condition that so many people are in at this very time today. Look at Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You notice that, oh, I thought we weren't supposed to have any hatred at all. But, well, that's not what the Bible says. See? And notice there's not too much fear of God today because most Christians don't hate evil. They keep trying to be joined back to it, and they indulge in it, and they justify it, and they stroke it, and they get in bed with it. Oh, my, especially in some churches. I mean, there's been so much compromise in some. Too many don't have, you know, strong feelings about the right things. And they're spiritually lazy. They're spiritually bankrupt, really, in their lives. And you want to see that there's more to it, but they're pretty vain and pretty empty inside, a lot of them, because they just don't seek the Lord. They don't get in the Word. They're too self-focused on self and all about, you know, their needs and what they want. And anyway, a Christian's supposed to be an example of godliness. But, you know, we've seen so many to be an example of sin and devil today. So many leaders in the church have cared more about themselves and their fleshly satisfaction than the people of God. And we live in a selfish society. Let's just face that. People live to please themselves. And you know that you've seen it. And you know that perhaps you've been a part of it. I don't know. But, you know, if you smoke, quit smoking in front of, you know, new Christians and Christians that could be affected, you could cause the weak Christians to stumble by that. You know, better yet, just quit altogether and save yourself a lot of problems as well, physically as well. And the Word said, be ye holy even as I am holy, not be ye worldly even as I am worldly. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, be ye worldly even as I am worldly. He said, be ye holy. You know, just what can you do and walk in that kind of holiness anyway? You ought to ask yourself, can I do this and be holy? Can I do this and walk as a holy man or woman of God? And if you can't, then what are you doing, you know, indulging in that, right? Right? I mean, look at Romans 14. Let's go read something here, 20 and 21 of Romans 14. It says, for me, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh or to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. But you could put all kinds of things in there, like I did smoking. I put smoking in there. Whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay, the just shall walk by what? Faith. Okay, can you put that bottle to your mouth in faith? Can you put that cigarette in your mouth by faith? Can you chew that tobacco in faith? Can you steal in faith? See, the devils would have us all just to think of ourselves, you know? And yet when we do that, what have we done? We fell into the trap of the devil. For the self-centered person is really the devil-centered person. Because, you know, he has you where he wants you. So you really, you're focusing on him because he's got you where he wants you. You know, out of love into self. You know, poor me. Look at all my problems. That's what a lot of people spend their time doing, focusing on the problem rather than on the victory and on Jesus and on the Word. See, they focus on all the problems all the time. Look at all my problems. You know, so self-focused on self and the many needs of self and the many problems of self. And, hey, everybody faces problems in this world. Everybody faces tribulation in this world. But, hey, we overcome through Christ. We don't need to just focus on that stuff. We need to focus on the victory that is available through Christ. If we'll walk by faith through this thing, we'll come out on the other side. See, the devils are trying every way they can to get us to stray to the right or to the left. I mean, they'll pull us in every direction. Every direction they can pull, they pull. See, folks, don't stray from your calling. Don't let him pull you to the left, to the right. You know, be single-minded. Be focused on your calling. Be focused on who you are in God and what he's called you to do. And you're called to loose yourself, to loose your children, your spouses, your brothers and sisters from the power and control of the enemy. Right? Amen. Too many people never rise to the callings of God. They get saved, and then they're the same way. 20 years later, you see them again, they're still the same way. And after they got born again, no real change, no real walking in the power of God, no real letting God arise in their lives so that their enemies will be scattered. And the enemy's still there. How is God arising if the enemy's still there? See, we've really got to let God arise, right? And then our enemies will be scattered. And they're not evidently giving God permission to arise in their life. See, because they're still the same, keeping the same devil, the same old habit patterns, the same old bondages, no change, no power, no deliverance. I mean, for God to arise, you need to arise and be the child of God that you're called to be, see, or the enemy's going to remain. See? You can't just sit there and expect God to arise in you. You need to rise up in God. You need to rise up in your holy calling in God. See? Stop just sitting there. Stop just sitting there and hoping that things are going to be different, hoping there's going to be a change in your life, hoping that something's going to... No. God called you to walk by faith. You need to step out. Step out, you know. Unfortunately, the average believers, they see prayer and intercession and warfare as a chore, not an adventure. Listen, it's an adventure. I've lived an adventure for many, many years now. It's been an adventure. It's not a chore. I love doing what I've done. You know, I love being a pastor. I love, you know, doing the things that I've done. Yeah, it's not always easy. There's a lot of attacks. And you know, when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with demons because, you know, everybody has them. And so, you know, you deal with spirits in people, and that gets, you know, that gets tough sometimes. And those spirits will make you miserable. They'll try their best to try to make you miserable. And, of course, you know, as a pastor, you deal with all kinds of people because you can't really necessarily choose who comes in the door of your church and what kind of demons you're going to be dealing with. And so, you know, that's just part of the calling of being a pastor. You got to deal with people's devils, and people don't know, you know, the devils in them are sure not going to always treat you the best way. How many know that? Yeah, and same at work. I mean, you work with people with devils, and you know, the devils in them, they know you're a Christian. They know who you are. You're a shining light in darkness there, and they could see in the spirit realm that you have the light shining, and if you could see in the spirit realm, you'd see that you were light also, and the unbelievers were dark and living in darkness. The Bible says that they live in darkness until Jesus comes into their spirit and lights them up. So anyway, I tell you what, you know, you're going to face, you know, challenges with people because people have demons. And I mean, it doesn't just happen if you're a pastor. It doesn't just happen at work. I mean, it happens among relatives. I've ministered to so many who have problems with their relatives, problems with their brothers, their sisters, their family members, you know, because they have demons in them, right? And so there's going to be problems. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be difficulty to get along, and there's going to be strife, and there's going to be people trying to do it their way, and they don't want to go your way. They don't want to go the way of the Lord. They want to be in rebellion. And rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. So anyway, yeah, just keep on loving, you know. By intercession, the blind see. Prison doors are open. By spiritual warfare, prison doors are open. People are set free by deliverance, you know, and the impossible becomes the possible. Hallelujah. So we've got to live in expectation as a believer because you're living by faith. You live in expectation that God's going to do mighty things through you still. It's not too late. You're still breathing. You're still alive. God can do things through you. He can turn things around. He can change things for the better. I mean, things can... You know, you can step out of that rut. You can step out of that situation. You can be healed. You can be healed emotionally. You can, you know, the wounds can be bound up by the Lord. He will bind up your wounds, okay? Listen, in Matthew 12:21, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. You know, how many know there needs to be some binding and loosing, folks? You know, maybe you need to do some binding at work or binding at church or binding in, you know, someone in the family that needs some spirits that need to be bound. I mean, we need to first bind the strong man. Who's the strong man? You know, a spiritual leader in charge of resisting the cause of God, whether they're in a person, a family, a city, a nation, a church, wherever they're at. Someone who's in charge of resisting the cause, and there's a lot of people who resist the true cause of God. They think they're spiritual. They're just self-deceived. But they think they're real spiritual, and they actually resist those who are spiritual and who are moving ahead in God. And David attacked Goliath, who's the type of a spiritual strong man. Okay? And remember the story of David and Goliath? Both armies were standing on mountains, which in Scripture, the mountain symbolizes authority, power, or influence. That's one of the things that mountains stand for in Scripture. And the battle was between two kingdoms, really. In reality, God and Satan. See, Goliath was Satan, and David was God's army. And both had authority and power. Satan has a measure of power and authority, okay? You can see what he's doing in the world. He has a measure of it. By the way, the name Goliath means soothsayer. In case you didn't know that. In fact, the Philistines were a people called soothsayers. In fact, that's what they were known as, soothsayers. In fact, I have a scripture to tell you that, Isaiah 2:6. We could go over there and read that. And the Philistines were known as soothsayers. Therefore, thou hast forsaken, Isaiah 2:6, thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. And turning my page here in my Bible, and they're stuck together. Hold on. So I can keep reading this verse to you. Get them unstuck. I bind that in Jesus' name. Now Bible pages come unstuck. We have some resistance here. I want to read this to you and expose the Philistines and what they were. Okay, here we go. In Jesus' name, we got them apart. Okay, here we go, and it says here, let me read it again, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Okay, so see, the Philistines, Israel was becoming like the Philistines, which was soothsayers. Okay, all right, you got that. I want you to see that there. Soothsayer, what is that? One who is involved in the satanic realm, who attempt illegitimately to find out the purposes of God and stop them. One who substitutes the power of evil spirits for the power of God and to practice magic. And Goliath, what did he say? He said, well, whoever can destroy me will have all the Philistines as his servant. I mean, this is the principle of a strong man. You bind me, and we will be subject to you. We'll do your bidding. You see what's being said here? You can bind the enemy, and he's going to do what you tell him to do. He's going to come out in Jesus' name. You bind him, he's going to come out in Jesus' name. Amen. He may come back in if that person is in agreement with that devil. He may come back in, but he's got to come. He's got to have some obedience with you. I know they'll tell you, well, I have a legal right to be here. This person doesn't want me out. You can hear that kind of stuff all the time from demons. And maybe to some extent that is true, because when a person really is in agreement with their demon and they want the demon there, they don't have to go. And if you can manage to get them out, they'll come right back because the person wants that devil. Okay, so Goliath, though, he said, no, you can destroy me. You have all the Philistines as his servant. Bind me, will be subject to you. So it is important that each of you see yourself for who you really are. Okay, a David linked to the army of God, right? We're mighty warriors. David was a mighty warrior. He went forth in the name of the living God, and he attacked Goliath. He attacked the soothsayers. He was bold in the face of witchcraft and magic and darkness. The Philistines had demon gods that they worshiped, and the great darkness was released when they did that, and they offered human sacrifice or whatever kind of sacrifices they offered to these devils. Their power was released of darkness. And yet David, he's bold in God, see, because we have the greater power. He had the greater power. Jesus' power is greater than the devil's power. The devil's just a created being. You know, who is that Mormon, you know, who's serving the devil, right, that think they have something as they walk around in their puffed-up pride with their little ties on and their little black ties and saying that they're an elder when they're not even old enough to be an elder. They're 20 years old and they call themselves elder? Really? That's not what my Bible defines as an elder. Anyway, that's another story. But these are devils in black ties running around on bicycles or walking the streets and two by two going to the doors and bringing deception. And the Bible says in 3 John, don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't let them in your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't speak a blessing over them because they're already cursed. Right? And if you let them into your house, you bring a curse into your house. Right? Do I need to read that to you to remind you of what it says in Scripture? Because I know a lot of Christians, they invite them in. Oh, come on in here. And they're just so nice to them, and they think that's going to, you know, no, that's not what the Word says. The Word doesn't say that. It's 2 John, I'm sorry. There it is, verse 10. It says, if any come unto you and bring not to this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds, who shares in his evil beliefs and deeds. So don't do that, okay? All right, that's just what the Word says, not what John Kyle says. That's what the Word says. So David linked to the army of God. And much of God's army, though, you know, hovers in the foxhole. That's what they were doing that day. They were afraid of Goliath. They were afraid of the soothsayers and the magic and the witchcraft over there. They were afraid of the of Goliath, you know. They were afraid of this stuff. And they were hiding. And that's what we see in the church today. Quit looking for, you know, your potential, but find who and what you are in Christ, and you'll walk in your potential. You know, a lot of people, oh, what if my potential, I'm going to fulfill, you know, and they go wandering around through life trying to find that, and it's all found in Jesus, folks. You know, quit wandering around and just go to Jesus. You know, you're not just a weak, struggling, helpless child of God, but a mighty warrior in God if you walk in your true identity and your true personhood in Christ, see? A David who will challenge and bind the strong man. It's not what we are in the natural, but what we are and can become through Christ, you know, who strengthens us. That's what we really are, and that's what we need to focus on, not on all of our weaknesses and all our frailties of our humanity. We all have lots of that. Listen, we'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's the way we need to walk. We need to walk with our head lifted up, not hanging down because all that's still wrong in your life. And how many know everybody still has stuff wrong in their lives? Everybody. Right? Still have some demons they need to get free from. Listen, you've been letting Goliath torment you and taunt you and control you for too long. It's time to get some payback here. It's time to put the devils under your feet. It's time to cut the head of Goliath off. Listen, for too long, the church has been Satan's slave. Yeah, a slave to the thief and being thieved from of Satan. Satan's been stealing you. He's been robbing from you, and we need to take back, you know, what the enemy's stolen from us. Take back our souls where he's got so many demons attached, and our mind, will, and emotions, which is the soul, and our body, our family, our children, our health, our money, our finances, our love, our hope, our faith, you know. Hey, the thief has been really been at it and been very successful. Just look at what calls itself and goes by the church today. You know, there's a lot of compromising and joining themselves to the world and just trying to be like the world. And, you know, we don't see a whole lot of what, you know, Jesus was when he walked the earth. You know, we don't see people acting like Jesus that much. Although some of them, you know, they're maturing and some of them are waking up lately and changing and getting more hungry for God than they've ever been, and you know, but I see the fruit of darkness more than the fruit of light, and still though, and a lot of Christianity Today, and you and I, by the grace and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we got to change that. We got to be bold as a lion. We got to possess our stolen lands and stomp those demons' heads in, right? We have to take a militant, radical attitude against evil and do like the scripture said, to hate evil, starting with the evil that remains in each of us. We got to hate the evil inside of us, the demons that are still attached to us. And most Christians, we're not to hate anything or anyone. And, you know, oh, we need to just love, and love Joe Biden, love all that administration's doing and all that. You know, the Bible says hate evil. You can love the person and pray for their salvation, but you're not to love what they're doing. You're not to love the evil that the devil's doing through them. We're to hate the evil, okay? Hate the evil and love and pray for salvation for the lost. But some people, you know, they're just not going to get saved. They've just given themselves over fully to the devil, and they're his servants, and they don't want to be saved. There are people like that. You realize that in this world. And it seems like the deception is growing, and more people are just simply blind. And, of course, the Bible says that the veil is over their eyes, and it says that they're taken captive by the enemy at the enemy's will. And so, yeah, in these days, a lot of people are just not going to see. And also speaks of a strong delusion that will come over people, too. And, yeah. Well, the Bible tells us to hate the evil and the demons, and we hate them. I mean, I do anyway. And sickness is evil. I hate it. I hate sickness. I hate poverty. I hate evil. I hate abuse and all the things that the devil do. You know. So listen, I want you to begin to just see yourself as a David, as a mighty warrior. And do away with that picture of yourself cowering in a foxhole like Israel did that day of battle and had been doing all week there. And however long they've been out there, they've just been cowering before the Philistine army, and the army goes out and taunts them, and the devil comes out and taunts at them and mocks them. And, oh, man, you need to see, paint a picture of yourself as God calls you. And today start calling things that are not as though they are. You need to start, seeing yourself the way the Lord sees you. You need to call yourself a mighty saint of God, a mighty warrior, not a sinner. Don't call yourself a sinner anymore, because that's not scriptural. The Bible calls you a saint. That's what you need to call yourself. We were sinners, but I'm not a sinner now. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to call myself a sinner anymore, because that's not who I am. That's not my identity. My identity is in Christ. I'm a saint, and you're a saint, and you've been born again. The Bible says you're a new creature in Christ. That's who you are. That's your identity. That's what you need to see yourself as, and quit seeing yourself through the eyes of some demon, which they have you doing. A lot of times, if they get their way, they will have you looking through their eyes and seeing yourself the way they're tempting you to see yourself, the way they want you to see yourself. And you won't see yourself through the eyes of God. You won't see yourself through the Word. You won't see yourself through the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And that's what you need to do. See yourself that way, okay? More than a conqueror, not a defeated slave of Satan, no, victorious, right? That's the way you need to see it. See yourself, okay? Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, not in some poor dump blood place. I mean, come on, paint the picture today that you ought to be looking at. And quit looking at those old pictures of Satan. Erase that. Do away with that. You paint the biblical picture of your life, and put it on the walls of your life, so you can look at it all the time. Okay, be looking at that picture the way God sees you every day. Amen. Quit looking at the lies. Quit looking at the things presented by the devils, okay? They're always going to present you a negative picture about you, see? Or a deceptive one, and get you in deception, like that Carlton Pearson had gotten a deception. Oh, everybody's going to be saved. There is no hell. The devil's even saved. No, I'm sorry, Carlton Pearson. You got really deceived there. You got way off, buddy. Listen, we need to have our eyes open. And basically, people have been under the rulership of the demonic all their lives, and we need to come out from among her. Who? Who do we need to come out from among? Well, the lion, beast, devil, the beast system, the Babylonian system, the Babylonian economic order of the world. Listen, I live in God's economy, not man's economy. Even though I live in the world's economy, I'm not of this world, so I'm living out of God's economy. And if God don't bless me, I don't get blessed, right? It comes all the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow. He's going to bless me. He's going to bless you. Look into the right place. Quit looking to man, but looking to God. Amen? You got to quit looking to the way of the world, the way of the beast system, the Babylonian system, the mammon system of money, and the mammon system of darkness to be your source. No, Jesus is my source, and Jesus is your source if you do it right, okay? Stop all your backsliding, you know? In the spirit-led life, what does the Bible say about the spirit-filled life? It says to die is gain. That's what Paul said. It said to die is gain. It also says humility, not pride, is the normal Christian life. And true humility, what is that? True humility is nothing other than total and complete dependence on God. See, I can't do nothing without him. I'm totally dependent on God. Totally for everything, I depend on him. Amen? And I could, without him, I can do nothing. That's what the scripture says. That's what I believe. See, so that's the way I live my life. That's the way I live. I have to. Okay. True spirituality is not ever fully attained without deliverance from evil spirits. That also needs to understand in the real spirit-led life. That is a truth that we need to understand. That it's not ever fully attained without deliverance from evil spirits, because the evil spirits, how many know, keep a lot of Christians from reading their Bible. It keeps them from being more spiritual than they are. It keeps them from praying more than they do. How many know there's a battle going on, and the enemy doesn't want you to do that. And there are demons attached that try not to allow you to study your Bible a lot, or to, fast and pray for a period of time. You know, there's all this resistance there. So how do you attain true spirituality and fully attain that without deliverance from evil spirits? We shall suffer persecution also. People will criticize and attack you. We will be despised and rejected of men. And sometimes so-called Christians will be the worst ones that persecute you and cause you trouble. That's right. The people who go by the name of Christ, they're some of the worst sometimes who chase and persecute you and cause you problems in your life. Well, they claim to be Christian. Oh, yeah, they claim to be. But how come they treat you like that? How come they're attacking the deliverance ministry like that? How come they're attacking you like that? That's persecution. There are demons in them, okay? And those demons are persecuting you through these Christian people. See? And that happens sometimes. So you've got to realize that's part of the spirit-led life. These are the things that will be part of it. You know, it'll also cost us something. That's right. Some Christians want to be Christian and it never cost them anything. But no, you'll be a Christian, it's going to cost you. See? It'll cost you. It'll cost you everything, really. He may give you back abundance, but you can't start the walk without a price. You can't walk in this walk that we walk in without a price. It cost us. You know, narrow is the gate. Straight and narrow is the road that we walk, and few there be that find it. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. Remember that scripture. You mean not everybody saved, like Carl Pearson tried to tell people for years? No, they're not. I'm sorry. That's not biblical. Okay, there is a hell, and hell enlarges itself. That's what the Bible says. It must be because so many go in there, right? God's word is the final and only authority, not our feelings about things. We need to remember that. God's word is the final authority on everything. You know, not your feelings, not your idea on things. God's word is the final authority. That's what the final authority is. Everybody said, well, I feel this, or, you know, I don't agree with that. That's not the way I think, or that's not my opinion. And your opinion, are you exalting that above God's word? Really? I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You're going to walk a spirit-filled life. You're going to have to exalt God's word above everything. Everything. It's the final authority and only the only authority, really. There's nothing else that's real true authority on this earth other than God and his word. Amen? Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter your opinion about it. God doesn't care what your opinion is if it doesn't line up with his word, right? Does your consensus or the poll, what the poll says about it? No, it doesn't matter. No. Bible doctrine is absolute truth. There could be no compromise on Bible doctrine. Okay, on the truth of the word, no compromise. Okay, and also you got to realize that everyone is defiled by the flesh. Therefore, everyone needs deliverance. See, there's nobody who doesn't need deliverance because they've all been defiled by the flesh. Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And Paul was a mighty apostle, but he still said, "There's demons in my flesh. There's something dwelling there that's not a good thing that needs to go." Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. So you need to join the mighty army of end-time believers, okay? The mighty warriors of God. Because it's time. Because if you don't fight, you're going to be overrun by the enemy. If you don't fight, he'll just whoop on you and steal from you, keep on being his thief, pulling his thief stuff. So I'm telling you, the solution. So these things, you got to walk according to word, not according to feelings, opinions, and the latest fad of what everybody else is doing. No, the word is always relevant. The word is always good. The word is always truth. And we need to lean on the word of God and trust in him with all of our hearts. Yeah. Amen. I'm a member of God's end time army. How about you? Another name for it is God's remnant, the remnant. We're part of God. God has a remnant. Who will not bow to Baal. He will not bow to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. If you throw me into that fiery furnace, I'm still not bowing to you. I'll either burn or bow, but I'll burn or you'll spare my life, but I'm not bowing to that. I'm not bowing to the world system, not bowing to the devil. Mm-mm. We're not gonna sell out like that girl I told you about at the beginning in the news, you know. She was a pro-lifer and been out protesting and all that stuff, and yet she gets arrested and she just turns against them all and said, "I'll just cooperate with you fully and tell you all about the pro-life movement, everything about it." And she just is so afraid. See? How many people, if they get arrested for Christ, are going to just give up Christ? Yeah? We can't bow to Baal. We can't bow to Babylon. We've got to be stronger than that. Amen? Resist the enemy, and he will flee. See? We got to resist the devil, and he's going to flee. And everywhere he flees, we'll be clean in those areas that he was. See? We fill it with the solid, pure, and holy word. Amen? When the devil's gone, fill it up. You don't just let it lie empty, then he comes back with seven more and gets in, and you're in worse shape. That's because you get it cleaned up, and it's empty, though, see? And people don't fill it up. So, hey, you got to fill it up. Once the demons are out, you got to fill it with something. You don't leave it empty because the devil coming back trying to get in that place, and if you got nothing there to resist him, then he'll come back in with seven more. But that's not normally the case for most believers because, I mean, if you're really serious about God and really you shouldn't go for deliverance unless you're really serious about getting some and walking it out once you get it, because the real fight is after the demons are out and keeping them out and keeping the curse broken and not going back under that garbage that you got free from. See, that's the real challenge. You know, we can cast the demons out and they'll come out, you know, if you really want them out, but then you got to keep the ground that you gained. You got to keep it clean. You got to fill it with something and not just have a clean house and go home and never do nothing with what you got and never fill it with anything and never put the word in there opposite of what that demon was and put him in his place where he can't get back in there, see, with his little seven more to try to get in there and be worse, but he's not able to do it because you filled your house, see? Amen? So stop going around saying, "I'm frightened, I'm afraid." You know, what do you mean? The Bible says, "Fear not, for God not given me a spirit of fear." Well, I'm so afraid, I'm so worried about this, so-and-so, and I'm so worried about my family members, I'm so worried. What? Give me the chapter and verse for that. The Bible doesn't tell you to go around saying, "I'm so worried." You need to stop that. Stop saying, "Well, I just can't hear God anymore. I just can't hear God." They'll start saying, "I hear God. Thank you, Jesus. I hear God." I hear the voice of the Lord. I hear his direction for my life. See, that's what we need to be saying. Amen. And I know we may have all said that at some time. We need to say, forgive me, Lord. I confess I've said that, and I don't want to believe that anymore. I don't want to say that anymore. No, I hear you, God. Don't say I can't hear God. No, say, I'm hearing you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is leading me. You know? Hey. Don't go around saying, well, I'm just in such a backslidden condition. No, if you are, you need to repent and get out of it, okay? And then say, I'm victorious in Christ, and I'm not returning to Egypt anymore. I don't return to Egypt my old ways. I'm not going to. I'm not going to get, when I'm weak, I'm strong. No, I run to Jesus and walk in Christ. That's where my strength is. I'm just totally dependent on him. I must humble myself before the mighty hand of God. Okay? I'm not the fearful and unbelieving. How many know that fearful and unbelieving are going to be those that are outside the city of God? Okay? That's right. Those are the ones that are going to be outside the city of God, the fearful and unbelieving. So listen, there's no room for the unbelieving believer in the church today. If you don't believe, then you're not living as a believer, because the Bible says the just shall walk by faith, see? The just shall walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith. We walk by faith every day. See, we cast out demons by faith. We do warfare by faith. We put the devil in his place by faith. We put him under our feet by faith. See, we're not the fearful and unbelieving. We can't say that if we're fearful, then we realize that who gave us that spirit, because God did give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So if you're walking around in fear all the time, who you think gave you that fear? Where do you think that fear come from? See? So I'm not the fearful, and I'm not the unbelieving. I'm the believing believer. I'm bold as a lion, confident in my Savior, right? As I can be, confident in him, right? Through Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. Christ strengthens me. Where you get your strength from? My strength comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where I get my strength from. You know, where you get your strength from, people? You get it from God, you get it from the devil. The devil will give you a false strength, and it'll be a negative thing, but, you can walk in the devil's strength. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there walking in the devil's strength today. People who just overturned and brought in that abortion in Ohio like that. You know, somebody's been walking in the devil's strength, see? Somebody's been walking in evil. Somebody's giving themselves over to darkness there to bring that into. And 25% of them were so-called Christian that voted for that. Come on. Something's wrong there. They're drawing on the devil's strength. If they were drawing on the strength of the Lord, they wouldn't be passing that kind of garbage. You know, if they were truly drawing on the strength of the Lord isn't going to pass a law that permits abortion. You think God's going to be behind a law like that? That's why a Christian can't get behind that. Oh, but Romans 13, I have to obey. If they pass abortion, I have to get abortion. No, you don't. If you think that way, that's what you'll do. You'll go get abortion because you think that I have to obey the government in all areas. No, wait a minute. The government is godly government, not ungodly government. You don't obey a demon-possessed person that tells you to go get abortions and go be transgender and to go be gay when you're not gay and you're not supposed to be gay, when the Bible calls it an abomination and they used to stone people who were that way? Really? No, I don't think we're going to obey that. I don't see how you can obey. The Bible says, it's better to obey God than man. Remember, that's what the Bible says. So, I think that we need to be a little bit wiser than that, that Christians put a blank slate on some scriptures, and it's just not accurate. It's just not, you don't just obey any government and anything they tell you to do. I'm sorry. That's not true. Anyway, if they tell you to go kill somebody, you're going to kill somebody. Come on. If they tell you to go smoke weed, it's legal, go do it. You're going to do that? No, we overcome sin. We don't give place to sin. It doesn't care who, if the government's sinning, that's their business. It's not, you don't join in just because they're doing it. Yeah. If somebody in your church is doing it, you don't join in with them. If your pastor teaching a false doctor, you don't follow a false doctor just because they're doing it. You leave. You go somewhere where you hear the truth, right? You don't want to go where you can hear a lie all the time and what the devil's saying, some deception. Oh, a Christian can't have a demon Christian can't have any demons. You're just your blood. Yeah, between you and all the devils, you can't have any demons. But that's just not true. The Bible says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. In your flesh dwells no good thing, see? And if you're living in the kingdom and you're living from your spirit, he that has joined the Lord is one spirit, not one body. It doesn't say that your body has joined the Lord, your flesh has joined the Lord. No, flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So how can that be? See, if your spirit is one with the Lord, you're one spirit with the Lord. It doesn't say one soul, one flesh, one body. It says, no, yeah, we are the body of Christ, but that's the spiritual body of Christ. That's joined spiritually to God, and we are his spiritual body. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we are a spiritual being who worship the spiritual God. And if we weren't a spiritual being, we couldn't connect with the spiritual God, because only in spirit can you connect with God, because you have to become spirit in order to connect with God, to be in a real relationship with him, see? Because God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Otherwise, you have no ability to really worship him, because you must worship in spirit and truth to worship him, see? So you had to be born again. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, right? He had to be told, you must be born again, because if you're not born again, you really can't come in and be with me. You can't be, you know, just like when Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me, see? And he lost a bunch of disciples, that they, a bunch of them didn't follow him anymore because they didn't get it. They didn't understand, you know, that we truly spiritually do eat of the Lord. We do eat his body. We drink his blood, but it's a spiritual event. It's not, because we're worshiping in spirit and truth, see? We're not drinking physical blood like the Catholics. They believe in transubstantiation. They believe that it becomes the actual blood of Christ, and that when they drink it, an actual body of Christ. That's cannibalism. We're not doing that. That's not what it means at all, see? We're not eating his physical body that was on the cross, and it becomes the actual body. No. We're eating a spiritual body. We're partaking of him. And he said, if you don't eat me, you have no part in me. If you don't drink my blood, you have no part in me. See? So, hey, I'm going to drink all day long. I'm going to partake of him and eat all day long, too, because I want a part in God. I'm in him, right? You're in him. We're in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, we're alive, see? We were dead, but now we've been made alive, see? Hallelujah, see? You see what I'm talking about? All right, so anyway, I've got to close this one out here, and we got to get ready to do some deliverance, but praise God. Do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. You overcome sin. You don't give place to sin, right? That's important. You quit giving place to sin, because you're a mighty warrior. You need to move forward, come to attention, right? A lot of people, they're just like they're sleeping on the job, like there's 10 foolish virgins, you know. They didn't have enough oil. They were sleeping, and we don't want to be like them. They tried to get in, and they could get in because they just went to sleep, you know. And there's a lot of sleeping saints today right now, and we wonder, you know, what's going to be the condition of these people that are gone to sleep, and they're not really, you know, they don't have any oil in their lamp, right? And so they can't get in, and they can't get in. What does that mean, folks? Think about that. All right. Anyway, I'm going to keep oil in my lamp. How about you? I'm not going to sleep. The Bible says in Romans, awake thou that sleepeth, right? Because, the Lord is coming back, and we don't want to be a part of those that sleepeth. Lift up holy hands that hang down. You know, awake. You know, it's time not to be sleeping, saints. It's time that we wake up. It's time not to go to sleep with the world system of darkness and go and be in their bondage. I'm sorry. Not going to do it. Okay. God bless you. Good to see you tonight. Praise God. Awesome. Lord bless you. And minister to y'all. Amen. Y'all precious to me. Praise God. All right. So here we are. We are in a place that we need to be the mighty warriors that God called us to be. And it says here as I close scripture, Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Cast them out, cast them off, you know, get rid of them, and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. And most importantly, put verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. I will close with that scripture. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, that a thief is not going to be able to prevail against us. We rebuke you, devil. And we know that you are not going to prevail because we've read the book, and the book says you don't prevail against the believer who believes. And we are the believer who believes, Lord. We are the more than conqueror through you who love us. That's our identity. That's our nature. That's who we're called to be, Lord. And I pray a blessing on every listener tonight, Father, blessing on their life, their families, their job, their ministries, whatever you have for them in life. Lord, bless them, lead them, guide them, use them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate it, Lord. We appreciate what you're doing for us. We appreciate, Lord, the truth of your word. We appreciate that we are born again. We appreciate all these blessings of grace, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. We worship you, worship you, worship you, worship you now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You are a great God. Thank you, Jesus. But we see ourselves as mighty warriors now. We're not going to look at ourselves as defeated, whipped soldiers. But no, and POWs, no. That's not who God says we are. We'll look at you according, we're going to see us according to your word, Lord. We look at ourselves according to your word, not according to the flesh. We don't know ourselves after the flesh, just like we shouldn't know each other after the flesh. But we know each other after the Spirit, and what the Spirit says is the truth. And that's what we're going to believe about ourselves from this day forward in Jesus' name. Not going to listen to the lies of the thief. Not going to receive the lies of the thieving liar. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Everybody say, my life is yours, Lord. Do what you want with me. I belong to you. I'm your mighty warrior, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just thank you, Jesus, for your blood cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to take a little intermission here. And then we will go and do some deliverance for a while and be refreshed with some of that. And if you haven't got your newsletter and you want one, just email us at theoasis1@localnet.com. So not the word one, but the number one. Just go ahead and email. We'll get you one out because I think most of them went out. They were supposed to, but I had some trouble with a few of them. So if you didn't get one and you want one, just email me with your email address, and I'll email you one. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes.
to know you're His. When He'll come for you and look toward the day when our King will come back. Don't let shiny temptations get you off the track. He'll give you everything you'll ever lack. So shine on, brother, let your light burn. And the journey is long. Keep your light pure and your heart filled with song. Let your mind be clear and your faith ever strong on this long, long road back home. Look for the day when our King will come back. Don't let shiny temptations get you off the track. He'll give you everything you'll ever lack. So shine on, brother, let your light burn till He returns. Till He returns.
All right, welcome back. Going to continue to deal the devil some blows here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We command the spirit of idolatry. Yeah, we've worshiped the world. We've loved the world. We've made idols out of things. Any type of idolatry, inherited idolatry, or spirits where we've idolized things of this world, we command that spirit of idolatry to come out right now. Go, go, spirit of idolatry. We break the curse of idolatry. Come out, 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 come out. All that idolatry, go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it. The Lord rebuke it all the way out. All that idolatry, go in the name of Jesus right now. All that idolatry. Come out of there, come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. We renounce the spirit of idolatry. You have to go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you, renounce you, and command you to come out. In Jesus' name, dishonoring parents, spirits, any spirit that where we dishonored the parents, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 come out all the way out, dishonoring your parents. Come out of there. All those spirits that dishonor parents, come out. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out. All dishonoring parents' spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All those spirits that dishonor parents, rebellion, Come out, come out, come out, all the way out. We don't have to agree with our parents on everything, but we need to honor our parents according to Scripture. I didn't agree with my parents on everything, that's for sure, but I did honor. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. I did honor my mother. My father had died by then. But anyway, come out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Go, the blood of Jesus against these spirits, come out, 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 come out. Keep going, all the way, okay? A jealous spirit, you come out, jealousy, come out. We command jealousy to come out right now. Go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, jealousy, come out, all the way out, come out, come out, jealousy, you have to go. All the way out, up and out, jealousy, move, move, move in Jesus' name. All that jealousy, go. Come out of there, jealous spirits, go. All the way out, all the jealous spirits, go. Spirits that came in through at a surgery when you were under anesthesia, you come out of there. Any spirits that came in during a surgery, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go right now. Any spirit that came in while you were under, you were anesthetized and you were out, and spirits came, and because you weren't covered by the blood or you were not protected, we command any spirits that came in during a surgery, you come out of there, come out of there, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirits of death, spirits of whatever, sickness, disease, infirmity, go. Get out of there, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out. All the way up out of there, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, go all the way out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. If anything came in through a surgery, you come out. All the way out, all the way out. Anything that came in at a funeral, you came, went to a, attended a funeral, something you were not prepared spiritually, and something try to get on you there, you come out of there right now. Spirits that come on, you know, on people that end people at funerals, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All spirits that came in hospitals at funerals, come out, 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 come out. All the way out, go in Jesus' name. Go all the way up out of there. Go and out. Up and out of there. Go, 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 go. Go all the way out. All the way out. Go. Any criminal spirits, you come out. Spirits have called you to be like a criminal. Come out. Come out. Have criminal thoughts, criminal desires. Come out. 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 Come out of there. Criminal spirits, go all the way out. All the way out. Holding grudges, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Holding a grudge against somebody, come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Go, come out. Come out of there. Holding a grudge. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out, Jesus' name. Go, go, come out. Unbelief, come out. Unbelieving spirits, come out. Inability to believe, come out. Come out, come out. Unbelief, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way, mental distortion, come out. All that mental distortion, they get distorted in your mind, come out. Those mental distortions, you come out. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the mental distortions in the mind. You have to come out of the mind right now. Distort things that come into your mind, a demon of distortion, kind of to distort things and twist things, make you think things that are not true. Come out, all the way out, and twist the way things are perceived. Come out, all that distortion. Come out, all the way 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 up out of there. Come out. You ever talk to people like that? Everything you said to them was distorted. I mean, the demons distorted what you tried to, you were trying to say something to them, and it was all distorted in their mind. They got something else other than what you were saying. Everything was twisted, distorted, or confused, or changed. Come out. All the way out, go. All distortions, come out. Come out. All the mental distortions, come out. Come out. Come out. Twistings, mental twistings, come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. That self-justifying spirit that justifies sin, come out. That self-justifying spirit that calls you to justify doing wrong things in your mind, you'll justify it and it'll be okay. You'll think it's okay when it's not okay. Come out. All that self-justification of justifying sins and committing them because you justify them in your own mind. Well, I can do that. That's not sin. Come out. All the way out. That's a deceiving spirit that justifies sin. Come out of there. All the way out. Come 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 out. All the way out. All the way out. All self-condemnation. Come out. 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 All the guilty spirit too. Come out. 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 Come out of it. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way up out of there. Go. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Spirit of depression. Come out. Come out. Come out. Depression. Come out. 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 Despondent spirit. Come out. Come out. Despondency. Discouragement. Depression. Come out. We break the curse of those things. Come out of there. All the way out. All despondency. Come out. Discouragement, come out, come out, come out, come out. Weariness, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, go, go. Let them out, up and out. Take a deep cough. Let them go. Breathe them out. Yawn, burp, sigh. Let them go. All the way out. Come out. Come out. And breathe them. All the way out. Come 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 out. In Jesus' name. Go. 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 All the way. All the spirit of slumber just calls you to slumber when you should be, you know, on to read your Bible and pray. The spirit of slumber. Come out of there right now. Spirit of slumber. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, slumber spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Weariness spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. All the way, all the way, all the way. Slumber spirit. Come out, come out of there. Come out. All the way out, all the way out. All the way up. Go, go. Falsehood spirit. Lying spirit. Telling lies. Telling falsehoods. Spreading falsehoods. Come out. All the way up. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Exaggeration. Come out. Exaggerate it when you tell a story. Tell something that happened. You exaggerate. Make it the way it wasn't really that way at all. You know, you're just exaggerating. So you look important. Come out. Whether you think that you'll impress somebody. Come out. Come out. Come out. Exaggeration. Come out. Exaggeration. Come out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All that exaggeration. You got to go. In the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you, demons. You have to come out. Come out, exaggeration. Come out, come out, come out. All that exaggeration. Go, 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 go. Go all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All that exaggeration. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. Go right now. All the way, spirit of withdrawal. You just want to withdraw from society, withdraw from people. That spirit, you withdraw into yourself. All that spirit of withdrawal, come out. Come out, come out, come out, withdrawal. Come out, come out, come out. Spirit of withdrawal, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way out of there, go. All the way, go. Come out, come out, come out, withdrawal. Yes, people want to go withdraw. going to go be a hermit. Come out, that hermit spirit. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, go all the way up out of there. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out. Go, that temperamental spirit right now makes you temperamental. Come out. One minute you're one way, the next minute you change and you're temperamental. All those temperamental spirits, you come out in Jesus' name right now. Temperamental spirit, come out. Come out. We're talking to you right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All that temperamentalness, come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Temperamental, come out in Jesus' name. Moody. Moody spirit, come out, come out. Moodiness, come out. All that moodiness, come out of there. Moody, come out in Jesus' name. Temperamental, moody, come out. Come out, 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 come out of there. Moodiness, all the way out. That spirit of darkness, feel like just darkness has moved into your life. It seems like everything got dark and your life feels dark now. Spirit of darkness, you come out of there right now. Go. All that spirit of darkness tried to move in on you. Come out. All the way out. I bind you, break the power of darkness over you. Come out. All that darkness, all that heaviness, come out. Come out. Darkness and heaviness, come out of there. All that darkness, seems like everything just got dark and life got worse and kind of like something changed. We command that darkness to go, that heaviness to go. Come out of there. Come out of there. We break the power of the enemy over you. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Go all the way out. All the way out. All that darkness, all that heaviness, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out, up and out, up and out of there, up and out of there, all the way. Go in Jesus' name. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus, demon. You are weak, demon. Because up against God, you have no ability to stand. Greater is our God than you are, demon, the ones that are in the world that live in darkness and come out of darkness and live in darkness. And You have no light in you because you're not born again. And if you're not born again, you don't have light. So you devils can never be born again. Right? We know what your end is. Yeah. And we know what the word says is going to happen to you. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering us from these little things that the Bible says when people see the devil, they say, this is the one that caused all the problem. I mean, yeah, wow. Keep coming out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against these spirits. Come out, 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 all the way out. Brokenheartedness, come out. All that brokenheartedness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, brokenhearted spirit, come out. Come out, come out of there, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is against you. Go, 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 go. Money lust, you come out. Money lust, spirit of mammon, lust for money, come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Some Christians do worship mammon. I've known a number of them in my lifetime that do worship mammon. They have an idol, and the money is their idol. And they do whatever they can to get it, and they want it all the time, and they kind of basically worship money. So we come out of there, the worship of money, mammon worship, money lust, come out, 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 come out of there. Being afraid of God, you come out too. Come on. That spirit where you're afraid of God, afraid to see him, afraid he's going to punish you, afraid he's going to mistreat you, all that afraid of God. There's one thing to reverence God. That's the fear of God, to reverence God and honor him. But you don't have to be afraid of him as far as coming before him and being in his presence. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. Come boldly before the throne of grace, the Bible says, to receive mercy and grace in time of need. come out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. All that being afraid. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come on, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Keep going, all the way out. All profanity, come out. Jesus' name, profanity. Come out, cursing, cussing, profanity. Come out of there, all the way out. Jesus' name, let it go. All the way out, just breathe them out, cough them out, sigh them out. Go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, keep coming out, all that profanity, go, all that profanity, go, cussing spirit, cursing spirits, come out. In Jesus' name, the blood is against you, demons. You have to obey, you have to come out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The spirit is subject to us according to the word of God. Yeah, that's what it says, that the spirits are subject to us. So we break the power and control of these evil spirits and tell them that they have to come out in Jesus' name. Spirit that's of violence, you want to be violent to somebody and you want to hurt somebody or do violence and be a violent person, you come out of there. All violence that came in through movies, watching violence, come out. Come out, come on. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. We do rejoice that our names are written in heaven, but the spirits are subject to us as well. So remember that. The spirit, you're subject to us. You have to go. Come out. Spirit of violence, come out. Spirit of violence. A lot of Americans are hooked on violence. They like to watch violence and they feed on violence. And, all those violent spirits. We break the curse of violence and command violent spirits to come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All that violence, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. And we live in a very violent world. And violence is happening every day. People are murdered. People are killed. People have done and violent things happen. Oh, Lord, that's a strong spirit out there in the world doing a lot of damage, but it's not stronger than the Lord. So we rebuke the spirit of violence. We command it to go right now. Go, all that violence. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the spirit of violence. Go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. We break the curse of violence. We break the inherited curses of violence. Passed down through the family line and commanded to go. In Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for delivering from violent spirits. In Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for these deliverances tonight, Father. We appreciate it, Father. We appreciate you ministering to us all, Lord, and thank you for deliverance. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for changing our lives. Thank you for making us everything that we are supposed to be in God, Father. And We submit ourselves and yield ourselves to you, Father, in Jesus' name, and seal this deliverance that people have received tonight, Father, to them, that they can walk in it, keep what they get, and the enemy will not be able to take it away. And we thank you, Lord, for getting more and more, Father, and that you're working on us, Father. We praise you for it and appreciate you so much, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks, for being here tonight. We appreciate y'all, love you, and we'll see you back next Friday night.
Let's say you're a prisoner. Your fears are the walls that keep you from his arms, from living at all. Convention's the warden, deceit locks the door. Well, I got the keys, baby. You're ready for more. Whoa, whoa. There's something you wanna know. The golden glow. There's someone you wanna meet. His love's for eternity. You're so disillusioned from all that you hear. You'd like to be free, but there's so much to fear. Well, I got the answer, tailor-made for you. Just call out to Jesus, he'll come rescue you. Oh, oh, oh. He's right here knocking at your door. Hey, oh, oh. Have no fear, love can do much more. Hey, oh. No place his love cannot go. Hey, oh, oh, Jesus lives, can you hear his call? Hey, oh, 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 take his keys and break down the walls.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, some people are mad at God. That is, that could be the case. With, you know, some people don't want to hear the gospel because they're mad at God for something that happened in the past. And some Christians are even mad at God still because God didn't do something for him, didn't heal somebody, didn't save somebody, didn't redeem a certain situation. Or, yeah. So some people, you know, they're like that. But, and they're bitter at him because so-and-so died or their loved one, and God didn't come through. And they prayed for the healing for their loved one and or something like that. I mean, you don't know the circumstances of people's lives until you know them. And you really don't know people unless you really know people. I don't know that. And it takes time to really know people, that's for sure. Unless God gives you some insight, you don't know. Sometimes God gives us words. Sometimes he gives us supernatural insight where we're able to speak right into their lives and help somebody. But that doesn't always happen in every case. And you sometimes wonder why they hate God so much or something. Yeah. Well, it's not God's fault. You know, a lot of the things that happen, see, the people are blaming God for what the devil did. And that's the fact of the matter, is that a lot of people are like that. They blame God for what the devil did. And that's what the devil wants. So they want you to think God's mean and that he did that to you. He did that to your family. He did that to so-and-so. And God is that way. And God is harsh. And God is love. That's what the word says. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. We can't forget that. So the enemy is the one who really needs to be blamed. Yet people don't blame the devil. They blame, you know, they blame God when they're blaming somebody. Isn't that kind of the common thing that happens? Yeah. And yet they're in the devil's camp already anyway, and so they're blaming God, which because they're under the control of the devil, and the devil says, yeah, that's God's fault. If he really cared about you, this wouldn't have happened, you know? Well, we know that's a lie, and we know that God does care about us, and I'm sure it saddens him to see the things that happen on planet Earth and to watch with, you know, He has allowed it, and he has the plan of redemption in process, and soon it'll all be over, and there'll be no more devil to do all this evil stuff here that he gets away with on planet Earth. Of course, he's not getting away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. Only through the grace of God are our sins removed and forgiven through his blood, but otherwise nobody gets away with anything. They reap what they sow. If they're not under grace, they reap what they sow. And the devil's not under grace. So I sure wouldn't want to be in his shoes. Would you? I sure wouldn't want to. Anyway, thank God for our salvation. Thank God that we know him and that we're getting to know him better and that we're drawing in closer and God's given us an understanding and he's continuing to give us understanding as he opens up his truth to us. And we should be hungry and thirsty for that because he wants to keep giving us more. We just have to be hungry for it. If you don't hunger, you won't eat. If you're not hungry, you won't eat. So, amen. So, I'm hungry. Yeah. I'm hungry. You're hungry, I hope. And we're just going to get more of God and get closer till he comes. But he's coming soon. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, God will speak to you and he will speak through you if you let him. He will. So let's let him, okay? Let's be a tool in the hands of the Lord. I mean, yeah. Let's be a tool in the hands of the Lord. So I'm going to let everybody go. So appreciate all of you listening tonight. And we love you and appreciate you. And we'll hope to see you back next week. And we'll be here next Friday night. And excited to share the word with you again. And may the Lord bless you and your family members. Save them if they're not saved in Jesus' name. And may he heal you if you're sick today in Jesus' name. And may you just keep growing and growing spiritually until the day that Jesus comes back for his glory. And we'll all rejoice around the throne someday. Praise God, what day that'll be. Amen. All right, love you all. And we're going to sign out now.